In this edition of Friday Edition, we talk with Karina Berry, Indian Action Managing Director, a citizen of Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. She has supported and advocated for children, youth, and families in Indian child welfare for more than 15 years. She has extensive experience in public policy, partnership and coalition building, and grassroots movement and campaign management. Her work includes strategic development, digital communications and social media engagement, fundraising, and large-scale event planning. She has worked closely with academic researchers to translate research into policy and practice publications. She has participated in global racial environment and economic justice efforts as a Roy Wilkins Community Fellow and as a Young Cultural Innovators Fellow. She has a bachelor's degree in child psychology and American Indian Studies and a master's of social work degree from the University of Minnesota. Welcome, Karina, to Friday Edition. I was reading your press release earlier, Indian Collective Response to Inauguration of President Joe Biden. So that has been accomplished.
So my name is Karina Berry, and I am the managing director of Indian Action, which is our organizing, advocacy, and direct action arm of Indian Collective. And I'm Leech Lake Anishinaabe and calling in from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I see the enthusiasm for the new president over the other guy.
Yeah.
And why was this important to you? Why? What do you see as the Indian Collective and everything that you do? How does this help you fulfill your mission and the things that you want to see happen?
Yeah, well, you know, I think to start and just like reflecting on what this transition means and has felt like, you know, I think some folks, it can come with mixed emotions, right? Like these systems and politics isn't often a space where our people, Indigenous people, our tribal nations are heard and respected and honored. But, you know, after 4 years of Trump and all of his hateful rhetoric and his hateful acts and just completely lack of engagement with communities, with tribal communities, you know, and our other BIPOC relatives, like it's sort of like a breath of fresh air, like, wow, okay. So there's this shift where it feels like we'll actually have access to the White House again, you know, that we'll actually have access to the presidential administration, to be able to advocate for our people, for the needs in our communities, and most importantly, for our Indigenous rights and our inherent right to self-determination. And for Indian Collective, you know, our mission is defend, develop, and decolonize. Like we are committed to building the collective power for Indigenous peoples and nations to exercise our inherent right to self-determination, while also fostering a world that's built on a foundation of justice and equity for all people and the planet. And so for us, like reflecting on the last 4 years, there's so much harmful acts and policies that were done and put in place that we have to undo. And so with our new administration, like I think of one of my immediate reflections were just, wow, we have so much to do, right? You know, thinking of Trump's first day in office and everything that he pushed through in his executive orders, and how we need to organize and mobilize and put pressure on this new administration to begin by undoing those harmful things. And two, like that we, you know, for Indian Collective, we truly are about collective liberation, you know, liberation for all and justice for all people. And at the core of that is land back and returning Indigenous lands to Indigenous hands. And so for us, that's a central focus point for our work and the pressure that will be put on this new administration. You know, we are eager and looking forward to seeing how this administration begins to engage with Indigenous people and our tribal nations and our Indigenous communities around, you know, policy decisions and how we move forward in a good way.
When you say land back, it gives me the impression that we actually will physically have ownership of lands. But is that the same as, or could the influence of Native peoples on the use of that land have a similar meaning?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, it's everything and all-encompassing, right? Like returning our lands to our people and our tribal nations so that we, you know, can be the true land stewardship, have stewardship to the land as we always had, right? And but a part of that is, you know, building community together and collectively, right? So there, that, you know, the returning of our lands is going to look different in, you know, many different ways, you know, whether that's public lands, if that's buying back lands, if that's occupying and taking lands back, you know, land trusts and land conservation, like it's a big fight that, you know, we're committed to and organizing around. But for us, when we think about, as I mentioned before, when we think about justice and we think of our, as Indigenous people, our connection and our values to our land and what had been lost or harmed in the taking of our lands, like that has to be the highest priority for us in the work that we do. And it's so interconnected to all of these other movements and efforts to build up our communities and build our power in our communities, and that we can do that alongside and in partnership with our other movement partners, you know. And that there is a space, you know, for land back into Indigenous people. There's space for for land back in Indigenous peoples. There's also space for reparations for our Black relatives. And so we hold space for both, right? Like, what does justice look like for all of our people and all of our allies and all of our movement partners?
I can agree with that. And, I'm wondering, Indian Action, how did that get started and when, as an organization?
Yeah, so Indian Action is a part of Indian Collective. And so Indian Collective has been building and growing a community for a few years now. And our and the work of Indian Action has also been happening, you know, for years and in different capacity as we've been building out our team, you know, defending our land and our communities in different frontline actions and fights, you know, fighting pipelines or other destructions of our lands. And also, you know, showing up in different spaces in our communities, you know, really lots of grassroots organizing and supporting the organizing taking place on the ground. And for our Indian Action arm, we have been developing and growing that work more this year. The Indian Action arm of the collective has really built out in this past year in 2020. And so now under this arm, we have four campaigns really organizing and advocating, creating and impacting policy change. And those four campaigns are our Land Back campaign, our racial equity campaign, our educational equity campaign, and then our climate justice campaign. You know, we're a newer team under the collective, but like really dedicated, passionate people that have been on the ground in their communities already, you know, before this team developed out.
Well, that's really encouraging. I congratulate you on that work, and you've even come together to do that. I like hearing those stories, and it's inspirational. And now that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this interview with you, is to get a sense of what it is that you do and why you are doing it and what accomplishments you made. And how can we connect with what you're doing? If it's a collective, how do we join that collection?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and at the collective, we have our Indian Action, which I explained was our organizing, advocacy, and our direct action arm. But we also have our Indian Fund, and you know, which does investing and lending in Indigenous communities, and our Indian Foundation arm, which is our grant making arm and is getting grants and doing rapid response in our communities, and especially in these times of this pandemic and in COVID-19 rapid response. And we have a big presence on social media. And so we're on Instagram at Indian Collective. We're on Twitter at Indian Collective. We're on Facebook at Indian Collective. And you can find more information about Indian Collective at indiancollective.org. And we would love for folks to sign up and stay in touch and to stay connected in our social media, as well as reach out. You know, if there are ways folks want to plug into this work or you want to learn more about the resources and the programming we have.
Yeah, that was a direction I'm going into, is how do we reach out to you as a broadcast media to gather your stories so that we can share them out with those who aren't on Facebook and social media?
For you specifically, if you're asking for further contact and media, is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, we want to continue and add. We want to continue your story and add to your story, so that it's all our story. So we Indigenous people have been a missing voice for a long time in media. And now we are gathering our strength. There's at least 66 Native-owned radio stations in this country now. And I don't know how many social media networks there are out there, but there are still newspapers and radio stations as the backbone of communications. When power goes out and the social media network collapses because the towers went down, the radio stations and the newspapers still go on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm looking at, okay, I like the new technologies. We use social media, and we just did a live program here. We do one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Our tribal chairman does a COVID update report, and it brings in the medical crews and the Office of Emergency Services crews, and we do an update on what does it look like in our community regarding COVID and vaccines and our up-to-date data of what is happening here. And we also are hooking in Facebook as well, so people can watch us on Facebook if they don't have a radio. And I found out today, an elder came up to me, and she asked me if there was any data that the radio station can share with her about the COVID situation in our community. And I said, yes, we do this daily on our Monday, Wednesday, or Friday at 12 noon. She says, well, at 12 noon, it's not a bad time for me to listen to the radio. I need to get the report. I would like to have the report earlier. And I said, wow. As a matter of fact, if you could tune into the radio station at 9 o'clock in the morning, we do a daily update from the data that we had the day before. And it gives you all the numbers, and that's all she wanted. And so, mission accomplished. And we got another happy person in the community. So that's what I mean. Radio is a backbone of communications. So I want to make sure that we are linked with you and people like you and of all ages. I'm trying to make connections with young people in our community and finding out, well, what are they talking about when they talk about COVID-19? Because I don't hear them on our adult programs. And I find out, well, they're doing social media. They're doing Zooms. So I said, okay, I want part of that. So can I organize a Zoom? Can I pull you, the Center for Native American Youth and another youth organization that I found out on the West Coast? Can we put together a youth format of what is happening? What do you think about climate change? What do you think about COVID? How do you see the paradigm shift happening so that you don't have to solve these problems that we gave you, us older people gave you? How are you going to make a new paradigm so to prevent these things from happening? Or so your life would be better and the lives of your children will be better. That's the direction. Those are the things I think we all need to hear. We need to listen to these younger people. I find that the problems that we try to solve today stem from the solutions that were given to us yesterday. So where do we go from there? And what's on people's minds? And hey, we made mistakes. Now, how do we change things so we don't make those same mistakes again? That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. And I often find I'm most inspired by our youth, in this conversation of like our youth in the ways that they can radically reimagine like new futures, right, for themselves and the generations to follow. And this current generation and our young people, like they're organized and they're energized and there's so many ways for them to plug in and fight for the communities they want and that they deserve, you know? And so I absolutely agree. I think it's so important to create spaces for our youth to plug in, to amplify their voices, and create those pathways for us to learn from each other, right? From our youth up into our elders, you know, and having more of those connections.
Yeah, the cross-generational effect is something that I believe we have always used, and maybe we stepped away from that for a while, but we need to revise that or amplify it some more using all the technologies available.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's why I wanted to connect with you, and I'm glad we did. And I'm looking forward to further connections.
Yeah, absolutely. And two, I wanted to say, like, you could reach out to me. I would absolutely like to stay in touch. And I also, wanted to offer, for future, because we will push out more press releases, or you may see more from our website or our blogs highlighting the work we are doing. But I also think of in this conversation of, we have a couple different fellowships where we're, investing in our youth and our artists and people who are just doing really incredible work in their communities around all of these issues, racial justice, climate justice, education. And so I think there could totally be ways to connect with some of those folks and be able to create space for them to share their stories too. And so I can give you our director of communications contact if you'd like to stay in touch in that way too, as you see things or want to follow up on potential interviews or be connected with folks that you may see in our channels too.
Okay, yeah, I welcome that. We will stay in touch with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's so good to talk to you and visit quickly. I know it's been a crazy, busy couple weeks and a busy day.
Yeah, and like you said, we got a breath of fresh air.
And yeah.
That does feel good.
It's been on lots of Zoom meetings, but I'm looking forward to being able to just take a breath tonight.
Right. Yeah, well, I really appreciate this fast turnaround. I read your press release this morning, and here we are this afternoon or this evening on your part, connecting. Very good.
Yeah, no problem. We try to be responsive when we can.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. I hope you have a good evening.
Yeah, you take care, huh?
Okay. Bye.
You have been listening to the Friday edition. Our guest was Karina Berry, Indian Action Managing Director. You can find out more about Indian Action on their website, ndncollective.org. That's NDN, three letters, collective.org. The Friday Edition is a production of KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio, recorded in Studio 91. The executive director, host, and engineer has been Joseph Orozco. Music bed, selections from John Trudell's Blue Indian CD. Partial funding provided by the Hoopa Valley Tribal Council, State Gaming Fund, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.